You're listening to the Fox and the Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Judy.
Wait, where's Savannah?
I don't know. She's not allowed in this episode.
Oh, that's right. I booted her butt out of here. I said, no. Today it's going to be us cis women only.
Yes, us sisters. The sisterhood of the coven of witches.
The sisters.
Yeah, there's no like half boys allowed.
I don't know what to say. Half.
I don't know what to say. Full boy and then full woman. Whatever. We're off to a great start. We don't need Savannah. This is the time where us girls can gab, discuss, open up that heart to heart discussion and just have a little fun gabbing.
Sure, why not?
And thank you for agreeing to do an episode just with me. I must say that I've been enjoying the episodes with you and Savannah, but I have been getting a little jelly for a little Judy time.
Well, I mean, I think it's a new dynamic that might bring some interest to the podcast to have you and I chat also. Because we've had the three of us, and we've had you and Savannah, and we've had me and Savannah, but we haven't had you and I.
Yes, and I have been wanting, as you know, we've both been wanting to kind of do an episode that's just us for a while now, but we are very sensitive to Savannah's heart.
Yes.
Yes, and we wanted to make it true and right and real. Mm-hmm. And we didn't want there to be any hurt feelings.
Yeah.
But after discussing it on numerous occasions with Savannah and Chuck, for that matter, they just said, go for it. I mean, go for it. Don't be so sensitive to what I might think or feel. And the truth of the matter is you and Savannah have done so much work, so much healing, that there's literally nothing that I'm going to ask you or that will come up today with regard to Savannah and sensitivity that hasn't been brought up or discussed.
Right, right. Or we haven't talked about in therapy.
Right. And anything new is like a thank you because it's a new thing for therapy.
Oh, great.
Right.
Keep my therapist in business. Yeah, she'll like that.
Yes, yes. So I think how I want to start off the episode, I have you all to myself, is kind of thinking about when we first met, when I first became kind of a concept of someone that Savannah has met, she's leading you to becoming friends, that whole journey. Because I don't have much of a recollection. I feel like you and Savannah are someone that has been in my life for lifetimes ago in many different iterations. So I... Yeah. It's so odd to think of a time where you weren't in my life.
Mm-hmm. True. Yeah. I remember because Chuck at the time was working on some Lego in the dining room and he was chatting with you on video and I was a little jelly, as you like to say, myself, because you and he were getting pretty tight, always talking and always plotting and thinking about these podcasts. And I was like, who is this other woman in his life? And and is she going to become more important than me because she's in the whole community and I'm not? And then you were like, I want to meet Judy. And so he turned the phone around and I got up and I waved and I had my waist length hair at the time. And you're like, oh my God, she's gorgeous. And and we kind of just, I don't know, we kind of just felt comfortable with each other right off the bat. And over time, it was just like, well, we don't need Savannah to be the one that gets us to talk to each other. And we started texting on our own and we became good buddies.
Yes, we have so much in common when it comes to trauma, when it comes to things.
Neurodivergence.
Mental health related trauma. All that kind of dark stuff that Savannah doesn't have much knowledge base for, much experience for, that really underbelly of the human experience that like I like to have with my women friends, but I really never met someone that understood the ADHD brain and was willing to share, this is me, this is how I live, this is how I show up. Mm-hmm. And it was so similar to my experience. And we could just be honest with each other in terms of what we need. Like, I can't handle talking, just over the years.
Yeah.
As our friendship has developed, it started really comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's come to a place where, like, we're aware of each other's mental health stuff. So we can mm-hmm. safeguard the other person from experiencing such tragedy. For example, I know that feeling insecure about abandonment is something that a friend would leave for you. And for me, I never want to leave a friend. So it kind of worked out hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's been two times over the past couple of years that you and I both got on such a visceral level that we both can't check in with the other person and see how they're feeling or let them know they care.
Mm-hmm.
We're just in it. And we respect that this person needs a chunk of time to go through this thing. And I think just now, which is cool because it's on air over Zoom, just now in this moment, we're getting a chance to spend time together like we used to, I guess.
Right, right. It's important to have people that understand, people that are involved in the community, you know, in general. And if that person also happens to have a similar issue with their brains, for lack of a better word, that makes it easier also, because things that might affect me about cross-dressing, for instance, somebody else with ADHD may not get it, but you do because you're more involved with the community.
Yeah.
You know, it's also a little difficult though, because I can't really confide everything to you because I don't want to put you in that awkward position of keeping a confidence from her. So it's important to have people that share your mindsets in general, but it's also important, I think, for women in the community to know, to be able to have a resource to get support without worrying about word getting back to their partner.
Yes, for sure. I think you and I have a lot of benefits, having so many layers for which we know each other, having so many connections when it comes to different issues that we're struggling with on a daily basis. But also there's this idea, like you said, of the community, someone to be like in this world, because we're in a world. We created this world. When I think about your perspective of having a partner that is a crossdresser, that is dual gender, and I think about who I am as a person,
mm-hmm.
I think if I met Scott, and I've been thinking about this before this episode, I think if I met Scott and it was the same situation as yours, which pretty much as soon as it was going to go romantic, you were given this truth and this information
mm-hmm.
and you had the choice to be like, I'm out of here or stay, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that I would have stayed. And I think that I would have been able to go on the journey like you did of getting into it, of understanding it. You know, you moved to another state, you made it happen so that your partner was not going to be alone.
Yeah.
In South Carolina. And I would hope I would be half the partner you are to Savannah.
Thank you. It hasn't been an easy journey, that's for sure. I mean, there was a large part of me between my friend at the time telling me to run and just my common sense, I would guess, saying, what are you doing? This is something's weird. Something's wrong. This isn't right. What are you doing? But there was that core of me that said, no, stick it out, hear him out, give him time. Let's see how this goes. There's something here. And it's very hard. It's very hard to do. So I can understand where you'd feel confused about that. And that was with me finding out at the beginning. I can't imagine the struggles that women go through that have been married 20, 30, 40 years. And by the way.
Right. And so when I question myself about how I would be, I could only hope I would be like you, slowly, hard, gaining community, this and that, having a partner that wrote a book, this and that. I think I would be fine. Perhaps I might have found my calling that way and created Fox and Hanger and been on the same trajectory that way. Sure. But if my husband of 16 years told me tomorrow they are a crossdresser, I don't know how I would be. Yeah, I don't know how
that affects your core trust issues. If you have trust issues to begin with, that's tough. It's not undoable, I mean, but it's going to require therapy and a whole lot of show not tell kind of thing that I dealt with, even though I didn't have those trust issues at the time.
I don't know how I'd be being the advocate I am today with the business I have today. And I don't know how I'd be if I was fresh like you were.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew someone for 15, 40, 50, 30, however number. Mm-hmm. I have so many clients that's their story. And I have such a soft spot for that journey as well.
Yeah.
Because it feels very hard to me. There feels like a level of distrust. I don't know. I'm not saying it's cheating. It is cheating. It's having an affair, yeah. But it's having an affair with with this big ass secret.
Yeah. I mean,
and finding that out.
When we started to do the book and went and interviewed these couples, it was the first time I had met these people. And here I am trying to come to grips with Chuck as a cross-dresser.
Yeah.
And then we're talking to these couples and these women are like, oh yeah, we've been married for 35 years. And then he just told me, and I'm like, it blew my mind. It's like, wow, I don't know what I'd be able to. You know, I mean, that does. It goes to the core of, well, if you hid that from me, what else are you hiding kind of thing, you know?
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
If you're hiding that you have a whole female persona, I feel like the thoughts of selfishness or grief or why didn't you feel like you could tell me? Why was I not worthy of knowing? I can identify with that as a thought that I may have.
Mm-hmm.
The shock, the panic, the... just aesthetically, the idea of seeing a person,
yes.
Seeing a person that you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm laughing, but it's serious. Like, and I'm only laughing because I'm picturing my husband totally feminine and it doesn't, it's the nervous laugh.
Right.
That you, I'm sure, get.
Yeah. That's why those books are so important that Sven has been writing, because it helps to give the perspective from the cross-dresser. Where they don't feel like they're hiding something. They were just terrified to share it, but it puts a whole different spin on it. So we're looking at it from our side like, oh my God, you hid this, you lied to me, blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, imagine having a secret for yourself that's so embarrassing or mortifying or terrifying that you can't even share it, even though you want to, and you feel terrible about it. I can see the other perspective of it too. So it's really tough.
I mean, that is at the heart of my existence. That protection, that animalistic, I will hold you, I will tell me when we ride at dawn. Like just that the discretion, the importance of discretion and the importance that this was something that they can't share. It's not an option. They're not going to blow up their whole world that I respect so wholeheartedly. And it's multifaceted.
Mm-hmm.
When I meet with a client and I'm coaching them, when I meet with a client and doing lookbooks, I am not meeting the significant other. I am not there to protect them. I'm there to protect my clients. But I can see all ends as someone who's married. It's an honor to know you just based on the fact that this is your situation. So I do get to hear this perspective.
When I first found out, it was running through my mind like, oh God, I'm going to be going to work and I'm going to be picturing him rummaging through my drawers and trying on my clothes and all these ridiculous things going through my head. And meanwhile, that was so far from where he was actually coming from. But brain goes.
Your mind had to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard. But the women don't understand where the man might be coming from, when that it's not, they're not doing it out of maliciousness or out of secrecy. They're just, it's just something that is such a part of them and they're so vulnerable. And we have to figure out how to make all that make sense. And a lot of women struggle with that. A lot of men struggle with that, and cross-dressers and people that are questioning their gender and their identity. It's such a complex thing.
It's a complex thing. It really is to understand that it's perspective and that taking out the word wrong from the equation would heal so much. For example, it's wrong that I can't tell my family. It's wrong that I love this person so much, but I still feel uncomfortable when they try to kiss me, when things with intimacy happened. You know, it's wrong. Like, just there's so much that the word wrong just permeates through the whole experience, from like where it was birthed, you know, as this beautiful genderqueer spirit came into the world. There's just so much shame, such lack of information. I do feel like Savannah and I are a bit of a revolutionary in the sense that, like, we created something that was needed in the world. But at the same time, I wish that there was more books. I wish there was more people doing what we're doing, because it still lives in the closet.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And it's hard for everyone. It's hard for the women to find the support, or the men, whoever happens to be the cross-dresser's spouse, because it goes both ways, to find support and understanding. I tried my best. I read all the books he suggested. I went and found books on my own. I was like, ravaging the internet, and most of what I found was not very encouraging. And that makes it so hard. I'm looking for something to validate what you're telling me so that I can believe you. I want to believe you so bad, but everything I see is counterintuitive. And then you come across some little snippets. And so now we're trying to fill that void with our own books and podcasts and things to try and help fill that need.
Yeah. And did we ever think, when we were little girls and we were going through school and going on our path, that we'd ever, ever someday grow up and be a spokesperson or an ally for crossdressers?
Probably not.
Like, it just feels wild to me because I never saw it coming.
I never even knew they existed.
Yeah.
I knew trans people existed. I knew people in the public eye like RuPaul and drag queens. I knew they existed. I thought they were super cool, but not cross-dressing for cross-dressing sake to express your identity. Never thought of that as something. So I was down on ground zero when I started down this journey. I'm curious how you got into this whole field of doing your lookbooks and stuff. What drew you to transgender people?
Well, I've always been a really big fan of male to female transformation. It fascinated me. I loved it. This and that. A fan of drag, Hairspray. There's the famous drag queen Divine. And ever since then, I'm like, this is amazing. This is unique. This is different.
But that's all just acting, isn't it? That's all.
That's acting, and that's pretend.
Yeah.
But just the idea of the male to female transformation, that was always something that kind of spoke to me aesthetically as I'm growing up. And then I just didn't want to return to work teaching. I decided to become an image consultant. I went to a mixer, and there was a trans woman there who said, there's a huge need for people like you who do the work that you do, especially among transgender women. And it was that night that it was so holy. It was just like, oh, like when a nun decides she's going to marry the big JC. Okay. it was one of those times where I was like, okay, this is it. And literally the next day I created the style questionnaire from male to female. I had done Fox and Hanger for not that long, but the lookbooks were created because we had a client that referred me to another client that was in Las Vegas and was like a 5-foot-tall man. And do I style people not in where I am? And so Kate and I had to create this virtual thing. We took a picture, did the links, and then it slowly formulated into all these different ways. And for a while, trans women and cross-dressers, or however you identify for the male to female experience, it was a specialty program. And I don't know. And I think that was just because we were so loyal to the few we had that weren't trans. I don't know. I don't know why we made it a specialty program for so long. But like 1 year hit, I'm like, Kate, I'm ready. And so we just made it a trans-friendly space to just do that. It's really been a slow and steady creation and a recreation. But when it came to helping trans women, non-binary youth, find the tools they needed to present as they wish to present, even if it's just for a little moment once a year when they get out of town, or if it's through their transition, we help them all. And these lookbooks were seen as magical. They weren't seen as, because to me, like, labels don't turn me on. I don't like online shopping. I do not like it. But the combination of creating a heart-centered business with a focus on individualized needs and say, we see you. Mm-hmm. I see you. I see psychically your creative expression, and I want to find you the tools to be able to achieve that.
Right.
It's been such a blessing.
Mm-hmm. And it fills a need for sure.
Yep.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of men especially that want to present as a woman and have no idea how to go about doing that in a way that would be accepted. That was always my worry with Chuck, that he would wear something inappropriate or just go out and have people look at him like, oh my God, what in the heck
do they think
they're doing? So if this is something that's just your expression and part of who you are, you want to present in the best possible way. And there's a lot. I mean, I don't even have a sense of style. I kind of went
get up on what makes me
happy, you know. But if you're a cross dresser, just putting on what makes you happy isn't going to necessarily fit in society.
Right. And there's such a protectiveness for me, especially if their intention is to go out, to make sure that they look age appropriate, to make sure that the heels aren't too high and all these things. But at a certain time in this business journey of mine, I realized, what if they like tall heels that makes them look 6 gajillion feet tall? Like, I had to be like, okay, I'm being a protective mother, but what do they want? What is their fantasy? And as long as I understand what they're looking for and I can help them find the shapes and cuts to not only feel safe in the world, but to feel
pretty
balanced, pretty balanced themselves.
Confident.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the best they can feel in their body. That's like the main thing.
Yeah. It's like, even for us, I go into a dressing room and I can try on 6 outfits, but that 7th outfit I'll put on and it's just, feel good. Yes. You know, I don't care. Like, this is me. This is me.
Right.
It's right. You know? So it's, I get it. And it's hard for them sometimes to have that ease until they learn. I mean, it's a learning experience, I guess. We've grown up knowing what looks good on a woman, you know?
Right.
Because we are women, but it's a different story for men. They have a different viewpoint.
They do. They have a different viewpoint. And depending on when they started this fantasy journey or what image of a woman they have in their head, it's very different from what's possible for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they may have an idea of how they want to look, quote, quote, and it may be a micro mini pink skirt and a blonde wig, and they're not blonde. No, I'm like, they're not blonde. No, they just, it wouldn't be right for them.
Right.
Being able to figure out let's move it from the fantasy to the practicality, to the actual, what can you actually wear and feel good in?
I have a good example. I was just talking with my therapist the other day about how we like to dress comfortably. And I'm like, yeah, I always love to wear my flares. They're nice and soft and comfortable. And she's, yeah, well, I'm short, so I really can't wear flares. They don't flatter me. So I have to stick to the skinny pants or sweats, something that doesn't bell out at the bottom. So that's a very classic example.
Right, right. And knowing your body is half the battle.
Right. Yeah. She recognizes what she can and can't get away with. Even if she likes that look, it's not going to look good on her. So you have to accept that.
Right. And as you said, at some point, this is not just a trans thing. Mm-hmm. This is a people thing. It's hard for everyone, especially figuring out what looks good or not, figuring out, like, this may be a trend. in society. Like, apparently skinny jeans are out, I heard.
Yeah.
I have been so, who cares about the trends and just focusing on what looked good on me and the people that I care about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really interesting because some of these mom jeans, like they're that Gen Z is putting out on Front Street, it's not slenderizing. In fact, it makes them look pregnant, like they have a pooch. So it's a very interesting time where you got people that are wearing stuff that are younger, the younger generation are wearing stuff where it's like their body disappears, the sweatshirts are like, you know, and just unflattering.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think it's pretty cool to be able to work from male to female and help feminize the masculine shape with actual clothes that are flattering.
Right, right. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that appreciate that you have that service available.
Yes. So I connected with, just to segue just a little out of the Fox and Hanger world, and it
gets
back to the topic at hand and us connecting.
Mm-hmm.
So I have had conversations throughout the day with people who knew that we were going to have this time together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious. These are a few Fox and Hanger, Fox and the Phoenix podcast hybrids. So I feel very comfortable in asking them anything, whatever.
Okay.
So I have about three questions that I just wanted to ask you. And I know that Savannah is so much better at setting up a question and doing all that than me,
mm-hmm.
but you made it through. Okay. So this is from Maddie Victoria, and it was very important that I said their name. What is the greatest joy you have experienced with a gender diverse partner? And what is your greatest fear?
The greatest joy?
Yeah. Like, what's the best part of it? Or at least the, at least a positive of having a gender diverse partner?
Well, for me, I always said to Chuck that I don't think he would be the person that he is, or that I would love him as much if he didn't have that aspect, because I think the feminine part of his personality is what gives him his empathy and his understanding, mm-hmm. and his acceptance of all types of people and being able to make people feel comfortable around him. I don't think that that would necessarily be there if he didn't have that part of him. So the Savannah part is very important to making Chuck Chuck.
Yeah, yeah.
The toughest part was just accepting it myself, because I have all these hang-ups internally with abandonment and feeling threatened and feeling taken advantage of or being made fun of, or I don't know, take your pick. I got a million of them. So being able to believe that what he was saying was true has been challenging and continues to be challenging, but not nearly to the extent it was 8 years ago. So we've made a lot of progress.
Yeah.
But it is definitely hard because it's not your typical relationship. It is different.
Yeah. Well, I think that that answers the question beautifully.
I don't know. I feel like I'm missing something, but.
Well, part of it was, what is your greatest fear? That was part of the question.
I guess the greatest fear is always that somebody is going to spot him on the street as Savannah and that it could get ugly.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people out there that run around with baseball bats looking for people they don't like, you know?
I know. That's so true. And you have such a partner that is so confident and aware and well-read. And just the best person for the job, kind of, you know?
Yeah, yeah. She always makes sure that she, you know, okay, well, I'm safe at wherever she went that day,
right,
you know,
right.
And okay, we're having a good, she'll check in. And then later on, okay, well, I'm getting ready to leave now, and keeps me a running tab of what's going on so I don't have to worry too much, you know?
Right. And I think that you and I are alike in the sense of that it's soothing to us.
Mm-hmm.
We get anxious if we can't. You know, if we,
oh yeah, you immediately go to the worst case scenario. God. Oh my God, they died. They're on the side of the road in a crash.
Right. Well, I need that with Scott. Like, I just, but all without this huge trans piece. But then you have, because I'm sure Chuck soothes you in that way too, where he'll check in with, I'm at the chiropractic or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's just open communication and good partnership. And I'm glad you have it.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very kind. You know, when I first met Savannah, I imprinted so fast and the connection was so strong on such a, we're meant to do something with each other. It creatively, this is the person, this is, it startled me because I never really had that with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And imprinted like a mother duck to a baby.
Right.
So when I met Chuck, it was so discombobulating, the trust and stuff like that. But I do think what you said before at the top of your answer to this question was Chuck's sensitivity and all that is Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
It bleeds over into the Chuck side and it makes women feel safe. It's no shock Savannah and Chuck get along better with women because of that sensitivity.
I remember the first time you came to visit us and there was that whole cluster, you know what, with the airports and all the airplanes being canceled, and you ended up arriving at midnight and you really wanted Savannah to pick you up because you were nervous about meeting Chuck. But at that point, having to drive 3 hours to go get you in Atlanta at midnight, he was not going to be Savannah. And I kept telling you, you don't need to worry. You're going to feel comfortable the minute you meet him because that's just how he is. It's just who he is. You relax. It's like, okay, this person, they're good.
I think that having a deep connection with a man, like I'm just saying, like having a deep connection that is so female friendship deep with someone biologically male is something that, have I even come to peace with it now? I have, obviously, but it's something that really rocked me because I wouldn't be comfortable. We had our own world together, you and I. So that's why it's important. But I'm just like, I'm not friends with biological men. Like I'm married, you know, and as much as Scott has, he's sensitive too, and has a few girlfriends in his life, have been friends since elementary school. But it's just, it was hard for me to feel trust and safe with a man outside my husband.
And I had this situation with my ex-husband that he never trusted me to be friends with men. And so I never really had any male friendships. And turned out it was because he was untrustworthy. And you see what you are in somebody else. With Chuck, most of his friends are women.
Right.
In a typical world, I would feel threatened by that. I would feel worried that he's going to find somebody he likes better than me. And I was going to get tossed to the curb, my abandonment issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel that because that's just how he is. He connects with women better. It's that part of him that, so it's okay. I have no problem with it. None
whatsoever. It's the girlfriend. It's the girlfriend connection that, and this is something that will come up in another question I asked, but I'm going to ask you and we're going to talk about that part of how girlfriends connect with each other, whether it be trans, biological, it's so important. And if you were born biologically male, that part of you was robbed. You would feel subconscious, or you would have to call each other dating, or you would, you know. So this question came from Dave Callahan, and it was, what kind of benefits do you value in platonic friendships with people who are the opposite gender? And I immediately in my heart was like, well, she's not, and I'm not. You know, I was just very much like, I don't know. But to this point, it's just, it's not encouraged by society because we're encouraged to like partner up if you're a certain age. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was growing up, most of my friends were guys.
Interesting. It was
because I always felt like women were girls, were catty and talking behind your back and kicking you and this and that. And I didn't trust women. So my best friends were all of the male variety. I really did not have any close female friendships until I was an adult.
That's really, really fascinating because all of my soulful female friendships, my favorite female friendships, have always gotten like the girls in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Have only got along better with guys.
Hmm.
They're a guy's girl because women are catty. And they don't have girlfriends now because it takes a select person to really get in their lives or else they'll be by themselves. So I, one, feel very honored. Let me just say, but that makes a lot of sense in terms of girls are very catty, very complicated, very conniving.
Yeah.
Mean girls, as much as there is this kinship that I have been able to benefit from, and it is the air that, you know, is why I am who I am, is from my female friendships. Girls don't have that great of a reputation for
No, not a lot for me. Once a decade or something, I may connect with somebody that I think, oh, this person's going to be different. The last one was the one that told me to run away from Chuck.
Yeah. Okay. So this next question was more of a conversation I had, where this is someone that they're a dear listener and client right now. And like us, this is a fellow ADD sister, where it's like this diatribe of messaging without me trying to figure out the points and stuff like that for everything. So this is more of a conversation. And it was a conversation about the different levels of female friendship, as we're just talking about. It sucks. To the other point, this particular client and listener says, I learned early in my teen years to listen intently when girls around me were talking. I always marveled at the multiple levels that girls, women were able to communicate simultaneously. Are you aware consciously of those different levels when you chat? I.e. surface chatting, chatting about a movie. And then I said, I am on overwhelm. I cannot understand this. And then they said, fair. And then they said, simple version. When women talk to each other, how important is the subject? And through just a rigmarole of trying to figure out what they were asking, basically it was, they feel women are a part of a special secret club. And being a genetic male, they never got to experience that kind of communication, that kind of bond, just what we're saying. They just want to know what it's like to be on the inside of this magical girls club, I guess.
It's funny because we're listening to an audiobook, and the section that we're in has two men talking to each other, and they're really talking like women would talk. Well, what do you think? Are you ever going to fall in love with a woman? This and that. And I'm like, I looked at him. I'm like, do men really talk to each other this way? Because to me, it's very normal to hear that kind of a conversation, but not with the male voices. Do men really talk about what's in their hearts and how emotional they can be? And I don't know. So yeah, I would say that men probably can feel cheated, you know?
Well, yeah. And it's just such a different realm. We have such a different realm of experiences. Mm-hmm. If you're a trans woman, it is the trans female experience. It's a different experience than what two cis women experience throughout their lives, just on a societal level, as well as on a level of being a lesser. You know, being not the ideal sex, being growing up with sexism and all that kind of stuff. And that pain and that trauma that we as women experience, that connects us. It just connects us with other women. And we get it on a level that, I don't know. I understand why it's fascinating to a biological listener, a biological male listener, because it is really special.
But yet I could say that I love my gay friends, men, you know, I'm just talking about men in particular. But you feel connected and safe with them also.
Right.
A lot of them, not all of them. I'm not trying to stereotype anybody by any stretch. I'm just saying from my experience, they're just very friendly and outgoing. And, oh, I love you. And let me give you a hug. And you're the best. I mean, that kind of a thing.
Right. You know. The flamboyantness of it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, we can go down a step further. And that's to say that some trans women are very deep. Have a deep soul because their soul is female, and they've always connected with that deep, like Savannah, deep way to connect on the level.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had a lovely time talking to you today. Thank you so much for spending time. I think that anytime we get together, whether it's in person is the best, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Through tech, that's the least. The phone is also, mm-hmm. you know, the silver medal. Mm-hmm. But this is been pretty awesome today, being able to Zoom together and share an episode without Savannah. Not that we don't love Savannah, but like, you guys have had your thing. There's all these combinations happening, and now we have our thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. That's true. I'm hoping that you will come visit us again sometime soon.
I know. We have to get that on the calendar, right? Or else it just doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll try to call you more this week. I miss you, girl.
I miss you too.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye for now. Till next time.
Hey, Julie. Julie? Julie? Judy? Anyone?
We're sorry. All circuits are busy now. Please try your call again later.
Aww. Well, until next time.
You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living with Crossdressing and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's H-A-U-K. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor, copyright 2024.
Yes, nailed it.
If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.